Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I have another great interview lined up for you guys today. Someone who has been on my list literally before I even launched the podcast. I knew that I had to have Shelly on to share some of her amazing tips with you guys. I love following her and everything that she does. So Shelly is over at the Eclectic Voyager, and she's a photographer, she's a blogger, and she loves to inspire people to live out their dreams of travel and do it in a frugal way. And she's done so much traveling. So she's going to share a little bit about where she's been, the things that she's already checked off her bucket list. And she's going to tell us a little bit more about the book that she has co-authored. And so Shelly, thank you so much for being on. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share all of that I have learned.
Yeah, I'm just like, I couldn't believe that you have been to 5 continents. Like, that's crazy. I've been to 1 continent. So tell us a little bit, just kind of to get this conversation started, like, where has your travel taken you so far? You're so young to have already been to that many places. That's crazy.
Yes. So I am 28 and I started traveling right before my 21st birthday. I was in college and decided to study abroad for an entire year to 2 different places. So I started out in Guam for 6 months, and then I was in South Africa for 6 months. And so that's where, like, my love of traveling started. And since then, I've been to Europe, to Mexico, I've been to Australia, obviously Africa, and then to Asia. So I'm just working on South America, and then the big one is Antarctica, which I'm not sure. I really don't like the cold, so we'll see.
Are you going to try? Is it on your bucket list, though? That's the real question.
It is. I feel like if I can get 7 out of 7, I just need to do it. Maybe like a cruise. You can cruise from South America to Antarctica, so I can get 2 at one time.
That would be smart.
Just set foot. I think Allie would be down to do that one with me.
So. Yeah, you have to take her with you. Yeah, you guys have been on a couple, like, your Mexico trip, and you guys have done some pretty cool things. That's amazing. Like, I didn't know that you had been to that many places already. So I'm totally jealous. Like, Australia is definitely one that is on my bucket list. Like, I have family that was, my great grandma was born in Australia. And so that's just like, I just have that, you know, somewhere in my soul, like, I need to go.
It's amazing, and it's such a big country. Like, I feel like I need to go back 20 more times before I'll even get to see everything.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome. So what really inspired you to start traveling, especially at such a young age?
So there are kind of 2 people in my life who are older than me and also started traveling a lot. So that's my brother. He's 2 grades above me in school. And so he started traveling his senior year when he graduated from high school. He went on a backpacking trip to Europe, and he's like an amazing photographer and had all these photos, which I still have, like, my favorites framed up in my room, like, now, that he took when he was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
And so he did that. And then when he was in college, he studied abroad in New Zealand for a semester. I was like super inspired by him. And of course, being the younger one, I copied him in everything, playing soccer, like
everything,
just whatever he did, I did. So, after I saw that he was in New Zealand and how much he loved it, I was like, okay, that's something that I want to do. And then my best friend from growing up actually studied abroad in Australia the year before I was eligible to study abroad. So she came back And I was like, wow, okay, I need to do this. And so both of them have like continued to travel ever since. And so they've been pretty big in inspiring me. And sometimes I copy the places that they go because it's so cool.
I mean, it's the best. I mean, if anything is going to inspire you to travel, it would be New Zealand and Australia. Like, they're so beautiful. It's so like, I can't, like, I have to go, you know.
It looks fake. It looks like a like, they look like you're in a movie, like Lord of the Rings, legit. It's
I've seen, I get, like, really into, like, house shows and things like that, and it's not even as much about the house. It's, like, the land that the house is on. I want to see, like, what kind of trees they have, how close they are to the ocean or the lakes or, like, whatever, and it's just the landscape that I love, and so I get really wrapped up in, I think, like, Australia and Costa Rica. Those are my two, those are bucket lists for me, for sure. Yeah. So what are some of the other things that you have already checked off your bucket list? What are some of the things? What are some of your favorite things? Because you don't have to list your whole bucket list. Yeah. I'm sure it is really long.
Yeah, I did a post way back. It was 27 things I did before I turned 27. And so most of them were travel related. So there's a lot. But I guess like my top favorites are I learned how to scuba dive when I was studying abroad in Guam and just fell in love with it. Like, I always thought I would be terrified to scuba dive. Yeah. But my dad has done it growing up because he's from Miami. And I was like, I will never do that. And I am freaking obsessed with scuba diving. Like, something about being under the water like that, I feel so peaceful. And so I, last year, went to the Great Barrier Reef and got to scuba dive two times and actually saw a hammerhead shark, which is like a really big deal. Like, even the guides who do this every day, all day, were like freaking out about seeing the shark. And so I got it on my my video. I have like a GoPro, so I got it on video and everything. So that's one of my like, okay, life
that's
made.
Epic.
Yes. And then one of my other big ones is I went on a safari in South Africa, and we saw like elephants, like herds. I don't know if that's the right word, but like herds of elephants and like their babies, and then rhinos and rhino babies. And I saw a pack of lions like attacking a like herd of buffalo, just like all kinds of stuff that I wanted to cry like when I would see it because it was so cool. Like, I loved it. And we actually were able to do that on a budget, so we were driving ourselves through the game, like through the national park, which was kind of scary because like a couple times like elephants looked like they were gonna come at us, and so we're in the car like three girls like screaming like, oh my god. You know, anytime we'd see a new animal, we'd just freak out and get so excited. But yeah, I did a lot of driving on that trip, so it was interesting. But that's one of
amazing.
My favorites. Yeah,
and that to me, like, Africa is one of my. It's high up there too, and I feel like a lion is like my spirit animal. So I love lions. So I want to go and see a lion in its natural habitat. Like, I just feel like that is something that you can't replace. That like that is. That's great. That's amazing.
Right. And it's so funny that I've seen other travel, like big time travelers and travel bloggers say that when they saw a lion, like in the wild for the first time, like they cried too. Like, it's just crazy. Like, that it just brings out something in you because we're used to like zoos and I don't know. It's just really cool. So
it's just something about like being in a place, and it's one of those like, it's kind of like one of those things, like people say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but like, how can, you can't really put a price. I mean, you technically have to put a price on it, but those things to me are, that's what life is really about. Those bucket list moments, whatever those are to you. And I love how you tie in the travel and the money, because I think so many travel bloggers, you know, they're just all about like getting that shot for Instagram and showing off where they've been. And then you're like, yeah, but real people can't do that. Right. And I love how you're like, okay, the average normal person can go on these trips. And you give me hope that I will go to Australia. I will go to Africa maybe when my children are a little bit bigger. I kind of got myself into that with having kids so young.
But, right.
You know, I love that you talk about the money aspect of it, you know, and what is your take on that? Like that money doesn't buy happiness kind of, because obviously you have to take both into consideration. So how do you feel about that?
Right. And so I think it's more, if I were to rewrite that, it's like knowing how to manage your money, mm-hmm. and whatever, however amount that you have helps to buy you almost like freedom or time. And yeah. So that's how I look at it. Like, it's not the money that, like having a lot of money, because I'm a school social worker. Like, we don't make a lot of money. But knowing how to manage the money and then being able to have the freedom to do the things that I can do because I can be frugal or can mm-hmm. save or set goals. I think that's where the money side comes in. And like, I want other people to know that these things are possible and you don't have to be rich. You just have to be like kind of strict with yourself and make sacrifices on like, you know,
intentional with the money.
Yeah.
And I think those experiences, you know, which is a lot of people's goal. When you ask people, what is your goal for getting out of debt? Or what is your goal for getting your money on track? Travel is one of the top things, because I think, you know, those experiences, you can't replace that. You know, if you're at the end of your life, you're on your deathbed, what are the things you're going to regret? A lot of people would list travel at the top of their list. You know, you can't experience those things any other way. You know, you can have a frugal dinner, you know, you can do all these other things to kind of take the cheap way out, but getting that firsthand experience, that's irreplaceable. And I haven't even traveled internationally, and I know that. Like, I've never, you know, I haven't been to the Great Barrier Reef, but I can tell you just from the little bit of travel I've done, like, that's where it's at. Like, that's living, that's life, is being in those experiences. And I don't know. I like the way you word that, though. Like, it is really about the freedom. I like mm-hmm. that.
I just feel like it's also about sharing those memories, like with your family or your friends or your loved ones. Like having those memories. That's even when I traveled as a kid growing up, like times that we just went camping, it wasn't like some spectacular trip, but like, those are the things that I remember doing with my family, is camping and going on these hikes. And it didn't cost us a lot of money, but like, the memory, that's like one of the things about my childhood that I probably talk about the most, mm-hmm. are those vacations that we took.
For sure. And that's one of our goals, which, you know, was, you know, to buy our camper. And we just did that a few months ago. And that was one of our biggest motivators all along, was, you know, we're probably not going to go too far in our camper. We're kind of, our plan was to go across the country, and now that we've got it and we're just like, let's just go a couple hours. Like, we're still kind of nervous about going really far away. But you know, even our first camping trip, we just went like an hour and a half away. It wasn't expensive. It wasn't a big fancy park or anything. It was really simple, but it was just having that experience, getting out of the house, just getting the kids into nature, having that quality time. You know, that's one of those things, like, that's the freedom. The money that we spent on the camper bought us the freedom, you know? It really is like the experiences and the quality time together with the people that you love, like that's what's really, really important. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, people, like you said, like, people kind of discount that a little bit. Like, oh, it's only camping, or it's mm-hmm. only going to the next city over or something, but it can still be an experience. And especially for people who are like at the beginning of their journey, if they're just like starting to get out of debt, starting to save money, that's maybe that's all you can afford to do. Like, no, it's not Australia, but hey, you can still make a lot of memories and
right and have fun and not have to spend thousands of dollars. You can set a smaller goal just to get you through the journey.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I know for us, we didn't take a honeymoon. I was barely 20 when we got married and we were so broke. And so we didn't take a honeymoon. About a year after we got married, we kind of just did this like road trip. And that was back when it was like 2009 and gas was like insanely expensive then. And all we had was our truck. So we borrowed my sister's car. She had a little two-door car. So we just kind of switched with her for a week and a half. We went on this road trip. We drove all the way from Texas. We drove across like Alabama, Mississippi, you know, all that. Then we went all the way up to Niagara Falls. And before we turned around and came back home. And that was an amazing, amazing trip. And we were so frugal. We had a cooler with us the whole time. We ate sandwiches at rest stops. We ate out probably three or four times in the entire week and a half. We did a lot of sandwiches and a lot of like chips and and we had so much fun. I think we spent maybe $1,000. I don't remember exactly because, you know, that was a lifetime ago, but we spent maybe $1,000 and we still talk about that trip. It was amazing.
That's awesome. My fiance and I are thinking about doing something similar for our honeymoon whenever we decide to do that. He's not big into flying. And so we are thinking he did a road trip a while ago with his friends and went to like Utah, New Mexico, Colorado, all of those places. So we would love to do something like that. And, kind of drive and just see everywhere.
And it's like that quality time together. We have so many memories of just like the two of us just driving and being bored together. And it was so fun. And we did we went to Washington, D.C. We went to Philadelphia. We went to Niagara Falls, like all that. I literally planned the trip around my bucket list. Like I was mapping it out and I was like, I have to go here on my bucket list and here on my bucket list. And I did a lot of, we went and we saw Ben Franklin's grave in Philadelphia. And it's not as cool as your lion story, but I saw Ben Franklin's grave and I literally cried. Daniel still picks on me, but he was my favorite person from history. And I just absolutely loved Ben Franklin for some reason in history. And to stand at his grave, to know like that's where he's buried, I literally started crying. He was like, this is ridiculous. Like you're crying. But it's one of those experiences that you can't replace, you know.
You'll never forget. Yeah, you'll never forget it.
Yeah, for sure. And I would much rather have that experience than a bunch of stuff. You know, and I think that more and more as we've kind of gotten into our debt-free journey and gotten into minimalism, the more and more I've realized I would rather have a camper than have, you know, a five-bedroom house. I would rather have the experiences and the travel with my kids than make sure they all have separate bedrooms. You know, it doesn't seem as important anymore, I guess, since we've been on this journey.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to the freedom of being able to be more flexible and have more time and not have to worry about all the stuff and the baggage and money that comes with it.
Yeah. So how has your frugal side of all of this, how has that really played into all of this? Like, how did you kind of get started on, you know, being intentional with your money and getting to the point that you would co-author a book about money? Like, how did that happen?
So I have always been pretty frugal since growing up. I think it's something I just learned from my mom. We always shopped at TJ Maxx, stuff like that. Never needed the most expensive stuff or like a lot of stuff. But as I got older, I I went through college and I knew that I didn't want to be in a lot of student loans for my undergrad. So when I did my study abroad experience for the whole year, I worked and worked and worked so that I could pay for that like in cash. That's and amazing. Got a scholarship. And so that was like really big for me to come out of my undergrad and not have like a bunch of student loans weigh me down, because I did want to go to grad school to get my master's in social work. And I knew that was going to cost me, which it did. And so even moving into my master's program, I wanted to be super, super frugal because it was a full-time program. And so we couldn't really have like full-time jobs or anything. I would babysit, and that's how I like saved a lot of my money babysitting throughout that. I kind of learned through all of that, like, hey, coming out of graduate school, having like almost $70,000 in debt, I didn't want to not be able to do the things that I loved, like traveling.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine just like being in South Carolina and working all the time and not being able to do something that I'm so passionate about. And exactly. So I just kind of kept that frugalness from college and grad school and just kept going with it to try to pay off my loans as quickly as possible. So that I could
have the freedom.
Yeah, be free from it. So I'm almost done. Not yet, but I'm 16,000. Woohoo!
That's awesome. That's a lot of progress. That's awesome. So what are your next kind of financial goals, and what are you working on now?
So I am obviously paying off my student loans, hope to do that before the end of this year, but my fiance and I are building a house.
Yes, I saw that on your stories. It's so exciting.
We closed like 2 weeks ago and we were able to get a really small loan. My dad's a contractor. We're doing a lot of the work ourselves, so it's going to be a process, but we want to get that house paid off.
Yeah.
ASAP. So
that's awesome. That is so exciting. And my dad was a home builder, and I have so many memories of building and like us doing it as a family. And so you guys are going to have like, it's going to be hard, which you probably already know that, like, you're already like, and you have so many more arguments and like you're tired and grumpy, and but you guys are going to look back and like, this is going to be a huge, amazing memory. And that's so exciting. I'm excited for you guys. And congratulations on your engagement. You had a very sneaky engagement.
I did.
I didn't know for a few weeks that you were engaged. That's awesome, though. Do you guys have, like, wedding plans yet? Or
we are going to do a small couple family and friends probably and pay off our house instead of have a huge old wedding.
That's awesome.
At this point, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Not using the money to pay off our house and then just kind of do the stuff that we want to do. So we're going to skip the big wedding and just move on.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And I just like how you guys are like doing this together. And I don't know, I get all sentimental because like I see, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm getting, like, I feel like I'm getting old, even though I'm not that much older than you, but, you know, I've been married for 10 years. And so,
that's
like,
so crazy.
I see all these couples that are, like, just getting married, and I'm just like, oh, little babies, you guys are so cute just getting married. I don't know. It makes me all reminiscent because I feel like we're just, like, an old married couple now.
Basically. Not old.
Yeah. Kind of old. Getting old, you know. So the main reason why I wanted to have you on, which I knew that you had a great story to share as well, but it's not my strong suit. And so I really wanted to have you on because I know you're going to have so many better tips than I would have. But I really wanted to wait and have you on about this time of year because I know everyone's going to start thinking about like their spring and their summer travel. Some people are probably already saving up, already planning and things like that. And so we kind of want to talk to them before they go into debt and like spend a bunch of crazy money on travel. So I would love to hear some of your best tips for traveling, preparing to save the money, travel hacking, like lay it on us, all of your knowledge.
So I guess where I always like to start in the planning phase is flexible dates. So when you are planning your trip, if you have like the freedom with your job or your kids' school or whatever, if you're over summer vacation, looking at flexible dates for both hotels and for airfare is super important, because you can find, like, just by changing the days over 1 or 2 days, you can get such a better rate. And so that's like one of my go-to things if you are trying to like plan out your trip like way ahead of time. I use like Google Flights or Expedia flexible dates tabs, because it'll show you like every single day how much the flight would cost.
Wow.
And so that is like one of my go-to things. Another thing that I like to do, like if I, for example, I have like a spring break for my job and I know that I want to fly over spring break, I track my flights. So you can use like Hopper or Skyscanner or something like that, and put in like the dates and the destination, and it'll tell you like what date to book your flight. It'll say like, it's the cheapest that it will be before. Yeah, and it'll send you like an email or alert on your app, and then you can book your flight on that day before it like rises way up. So there's like a lot of, I guess, like science behind airfares and which days you should fly on and which airline you should use and all of that. So those are like my two biggest tips for flying. Unless you are going to be doing the travel hacking, which I've done a little bit of, and I'm trying to get more into it now. I've been inspired by some of the other debt-free community people. I think a big fear for a lot of people is like credit cards and opening credit cards and annual fees and how is that going to affect my credit. But it can be really cool. And I've gotten free flights. I actually have enough points right now to book another flight, but I'm like hoarding it, waiting, like, where am I gonna go? What am I? I haven't decided yet. So I'm just like sitting on my points to wait for like the best deal. But I am looking into getting a new credit card for travel hacking. So I've looked into the Chase Sapphire Preferred card and the Capital One Venture card. And I haven't decided which one yet, but like they both have really big bonuses. But I think that something that's hard for a lot of people, especially if they're like minimalist or they're really frugal, they don't spend a lot of money, and you have to spend like a certain amount of money to get the big bonus. Which is always really hard for me, because I'm like, I do not spend that much money. Even like sometimes you have like 3 months, but I just don't spend that much money on stuff because my costs right now are not really high. So I have to wait and plan it, like maybe when we're buying something for our house, or if I have to get like maintenance done on my car, because otherwise I will not make it.
Yeah, for sure. And I know like some people will like pay their bills with them, and you know, they do. And I think that it is really scary to get into that. And I have so much PTSD over credit cards, because I was so bad with my credit cards, and that was a lot of not only our debt, it was a lot of the mindset that I think that was wrong. Was it just felt like free money and I would just buy stuff. Right. And so I'm still kind of scared, but I know that there are a lot of people who do it responsibly. And to me, it's kind of a goal to get to that point, to be that responsible, to be that organized. And I know that there's a lot of people who do it, and they do it well, and they don't do it like what you're saying. Like, if you're gonna travel hack, that doesn't mean that you spend more money. There are so many people who they'll do it. They're like, well, I gotta get the points. You're shooting yourself in the foot by doing that. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think it's really important to like open and close those accounts very mindfully, like kind of having a plan, knowing that, okay, if I open this credit card, I know that I'm going to be spending this much money anyways, and kind of not doing too many at once too. So I, the first time I did it, I use it for a free flight. And then I've had that card ever since, and I still use it. And slowly but surely, I have gotten enough points now that I have another free flight. So it's not like, doesn't necessarily have to be like instant, like opening a credit card every single year to get another bonus or whatnot. You can do it once, get the bonus, and then just with your regular spending, earn enough points eventually, like slowly. Yeah. And I just think it's important to be mindful about that and not go too crazy at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I think like still keeping a budget, and, you know, you're not doing it like, oh, I'm getting the points, so it's okay. It'll, you know, and like the saying, like, no one got rich on airline miles or whatever that
right.
is. Obviously, no. Like, I saw this meme the other day that was like a response to that meme kind of thing. And it was like, I was never trying to get rich on the airline miles. I was just trying to travel. And it's like, obviously. But I love how there are so many people, I think, coming out in the debt-free community, which it's kind of scary to be in the debt-free community and be pro-credit card. That's very taboo. But there are people who are kind of getting brave enough to speak up, and they're like, look, if you can do it and do it responsibly, it's like alcohol. It's like, we're all adults. You're old enough to have one if you can do it responsibly.
Exactly. And so I have been looking into ways that you can travel hack without using credit cards, because I figured a lot of people in the debt-free community would be interested in that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
And so some I already do, and it's like obvious stuff, like you can use the airline loyalty programs or the hotel mm-hmm. loyalty programs. So I actually just looked at my Marriott app before this, because I, for some reason, have started really liking staying in Marriott hotels for a while. So I got the app, and I already have like enough points from just like a couple of stays over this year for some free nights. I'm like, wow. So just by having the app, and when you book through the app, you gain free nights. And then same with airlines. If you use the same airline, like when I used to live in St. Louis, I would fly Delta all the time because Delta was big there. So I got their loyalty program and then racked up a bunch of miles. But some of the interesting things that I've learned about that I am going to start trying to do is apparently there are airline dining programs. So you can sign up for them. And then if you do go, you sign up for whatever airline you like. So for example, American Airlines. And then if you do go out to eat, you can get points for that towards your airline miles, which is interesting. And then you can also shop through airline portals too. Like you can sign up for like the Delta shopping portal and buy pretty much any regular stuff that you could buy online, but you get points for it.
That's interesting. Kind of like an Ebates kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that.
Those are two things that I'm going to start trying to do, especially Delta is one of my like biggest ones, that I always fly. And so I already have a decent amount of points. So if I am going to buy something already, or if I am going to go out to eat already, why not get the points?
Right.
Kind of like the same mindset as Ebates.
You have to be disciplined enough that you're not buying just so you can get that cash back, because that does not make sense mathematically. But yeah, you have to still be really conscious about what you're doing. And I know my sister does the Marriott's rewards, and I know that she's had a lot of good experience with them. Which we've gone so back and forth with Daniel's travel for work. And there were several years there where he was on a different boat and we paid for his flights. And then now he's on the boat where the company pays for his flights. So we've gone really back and forth. He's gone back and forth with if I drive him to the airport or he parks at the airport, and we've just kind of different phases of life over 13 years. But the cheapest hotel that was near the airport, we would go, we'd stay the night before, and he would leave at like 5 in the morning. And we used to do that before we had three children because that's not fun.
A little hard now.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder now. Izzy ruined that for us. June was always a really good sleeper. And Izzy was a terrible sleeper. So we quit doing that about the time Izzy was a baby. But we would stay at a Motel 6 just because it was the cheapest. It was clean. It was fine. And we stayed at that exact same one every 6 weeks when he would go to work. And they kind of did the same thing, like the rewards. And we would get a free night after a certain while. And, you know, it saves you $60 or $70. And especially, like, if you travel for work or you travel, you know, to go see family and you're staying regularly, you know, I think that's something definitely to look into. I like that you brought that up and that, you know, there are travel hacking things other than just credit cards. Right. So you can still do it, even if you're like me and you have PTSD with credit
cards. Right. And because that's like the main thing that people think about when they think about travel hacking. But there is more, there's a lot more stuff to it. And yeah. Ebates, you mentioned Ebates before. You can actually buy like plane tickets and hotel stays through Ebates sometimes.
Yeah, so, I think that there's I was looking up hotels because I'm going to Dallas for the RISE conference in July. And so I was hotel shopping and some of the Ebates were like popping up on like Expedia or hotels.com, like some of those. And they were like 4% cash back, but they were pretty good. I was impressed.
They do a Travel Thursday where a lot of times more of the travel things are like they get like double. So on Thursdays, if you're like already booking something, sometimes the percentage will rise on Thursdays, and it's for like car rentals, hotels, the air flight places. So I've done it a little bit with hotel stays through Ebates, and I've gotten like a significant amount back because, you know, hotel stays are normally more expensive if you're going somewhere for longer rather than if I'm buying like a pair of pants from American Eagle.
Yeah.
Getting a chunk back, but I always compare it too because I want to make sure, you know, sometimes I'm like, ooh, I can get 10% cash back on Ebates, but really if you book through a different website that's not using Ebates, it might be $20 cheaper. So
right.
I think sometimes like the psychology of getting cash back makes you think it's a better deal.
I think like I'm not afraid to bust out with like a notebook and start like doing the math and or like open a Google Doc, which is what I did for my trip to Dallas for the RISE conference. I had a whole legit Google Doc and I was like comparing where I was staying, what had a cash back, what didn't. And I was getting real organized. Like I literally spent a few hours doing that.
Oh yeah. I researched like crazy before. Like I'll research the flights forever. I think that's the one I normally spend the longest time on is a flight. Like I just will like research the heck out of that because there's always so many different options and so many different things to look at. Mm-hmm. But hotels, there's so much to compare. Like now Airbnbs, hotels, hostels, yes. Like.
Which Airbnbs have been really great for us. And we're not really hotel people, which is probably why we bought a camper. I'm just like, I like to have my stuff. I'm very like a homey person. Like I want my blankets. I want my pillows. So I'm just like, I can't cuddle up in a hotel bed as easily as I could like a camper or like an Airbnb. And so we have done more. We've done a lot of Airbnbs lately. And like we went on a trip just a couple hours away, a river trip for my birthday this past year. And we did like a little cabin and that was really fun. And my sister's bachelorette trip, we took a big group of girls. There was like 8 or 10 of us. We did an Airbnb. We all split it. It was so cheap. It was like, what do we say? 2 or 3 nights. And it was way cheaper than a hotel could have been. Plus we had a full kitchen. We didn't have to go out to eat. Like Airbnbs are magic. Like they're amazing. They're not creepy. You're not going to get kidnapped or murdered. Like
you can look at the reviews. Like I love that about, you can like really look into the reviews, but kitchens Airbnb is the bomb.
Yes.
Like having larger groups. It's so much better than having to buy like 5 hotel rooms if you have a large group.
And really, if you're on a trip, especially a girls trip, let's be honest, you're all going to just like get in your sweatpants and hang out in the living room and drink margaritas and eat cookies and like whatever. So it's going to be a lot more comfortable and it's actually cheaper. And like for my sister's bachelorette trip, what we did was we just stopped at the nearest grocery store. We were almost there, so we didn't have to have the groceries like packed in with us the whole time. We just loaded up on groceries. We split the grocery tab and took turns cooking breakfast and doing the dishes. And we're like, hey, you know, it was so cheap and awesome.
So much money. Because I don't think people realize how much money like going out to eat costs when you're traveling. Like, it saves so much money. When my fiance and I backpacked through Europe, we stayed in a lot of Airbnbs, and then we were able to grocery shop, and like we made PB&J and like pasta and tomato sauce, which was like super cheap, and just sandwiches.
Yeah. But
then we could like pack them and take it with us and go all around the city and not have to worry about stopping and paying $20 for like a coffee.
Exactly. Yeah. One of my favorite memories from when we went on our road trip on the East Coast was we went to Jamestown, and which was a bucket list for me to go to Jamestown. And one of my favorite memories, we had the cooler in the back seat, and so we did a lot of sandwiches and things like that. One of my favorite memories is it started pouring down rain. We run to the car. We're in the car. It's just pouring, and we're just sitting there drenched, just eating our sandwiches and laughing. And like, that's one of my favorite memories from the whole trip, was eating a sandwich in the rain.
I love it.
So, I think like a little bit of the experience can be the restaurants, maybe like a couple, you know, a little bit of it. But if you're going to eat out 3 meals a day, you're going to completely blow your travel budget.
Oh, definitely. I always like try to bring granola bars, like protein bars or something, so that we don't have to eat breakfast, because that can add so much. And if we wanted to go out to eat, we would go out to eat for lunch, because you can find stuff for cheaper, and you can go to some of like the nicer places that maybe are like the foodie destinations, but get stuff for like half of the cost. Just having it for, or having like appetizers or something like that, just to have the experience.
Yeah, for sure. And we're always like the first ones to, you know, I will throw some dry cereal in a Ziploc bag, and like, I'm not stopping at the gas stations. I will pack some water bottles like from the house, and that's what we do. And we're, you know, I think the food is so expensive when you're at home, and it's even more expensive when you're traveling. And so I think, you know, to remember to budget in that food and to be frugal with your food, because if you spend all this time travel hacking with your airline and your hotels, and then you just go out to eat for 3 meals a day, you're going to totally have wasted all that time that you spent shopping around for flights.
Yeah. And especially if you're in like a country that has higher exchange rate.
Yeah.
So like in Australia and Europe, like obviously the food and everything was super expensive. And so it's a little bit easier. Like when we were in Mexico, for example, we were able to go out to eat a lot because it was not very much. But weirdly enough, Costa Rica, I spent a lot of money on food when I went there.
Really?
I guess because it's like pretty touristy and like a lot of American tourists go there. And we were in like touristy places, but we didn't really go to the grocery store at all. So when I got back, I was kind of like, whoa. I think that was one of my first like eye-opening, like, okay, like I didn't realize I was spending a lot of money, but I was. And
just kind of like keeping track of it. And I think that, you know, a lot of people will feel like, well, I'm on vacation, I don't want to have to worry about the budget. But you're going to get that like buyer's remorse kind of feeling when you come back home, and it's going to have ruined the fun. It'll leave that kind of bad taste in your mouth if you're not smart about it.
Right. I normally always keep track of it on my phone, or like if I'm traveling with someone else and we're like splitting stuff, one of us will keep track of it on the phone, because you always end up at like owing your companion like money at the end of a trip like that. So always have it kept track of it, so I know how much I spent, because I want all of my vacations to be like paid for in cash, like whether I use a credit card or not. Like, I have the money at home, and yeah. I don't want to ever come back and be like, oh no, like I can't yeah. afford this.
And then it's going to be in your memory. Like, it's going to have, like, tainted the memory of that trip, because you're going to be like, oh, that was the trip where I spent $1,000 more than I was supposed to spend.
Right. And that's why I think it's also important, too, to, like, set your goals and, like, think about it ahead of time. Like, what are the things you're going to splurge on? Like, there's always, like, one or two things when you're traveling, like, to a new place or a new country that you're like, I have to do this.
Yeah. But like, leave yourself some fun money.
Right.
Yeah.
Just focus on those things, and then research, like, what are the free things to do around. You don't have to scuba dive the Great Barrier Reef, like, every single day when you're in Australia. Like,
yeah.
You can go to beautiful beaches, or just, like, walk around the city, and it's free. And then
that kind of balances it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like people get too obsessed with, like, doing excursions, or, like, think about, like, a cruise. You don't need to go on an excursion every day, because it adds up so fast.
Yeah, and also I think, like, people get really wrapped up in the image of it, and, like, they got to get the Instagram shots. They've got to do the, you know, this and that, and I think you really got to think about, like, be smart with your money when you're doing it, and there's still a lot of really fun things, and, you know, your favorite memory from the trip might be eating a sandwich in the rain.
Right. Exactly.
And that money, and that ends up being your favorite memory anyway.
Right. And it can get so tiring, like, trying to do, like, you know, I understand, like, I'm only going to be there one time, so I have to do everything. I've had that mentality, but it gets so tiring, especially if you're on, like, a really quick trip, or even, like a really long trip. Our backpacking trip in Europe, we were there for 6 weeks, but, like, wow.
You need some rest.
I'm tired. I just want to, like, stay in my room for a couple hours and watch a movie, and we ended up doing that.
Yeah, we even with our little road trip, we came back home, I think, like, 2 or 3 days before we planned to, because we were so exhausted. Our plan was to kind of, from Niagara Falls, to loop back through Ohio, and we wanted to go to Sandusky. That's still on my bucket list, to go to Sandusky, Ohio, and we ended up just cutting off Ohio, and we just went straight. We went through Memphis and we came back home. We were just so exhausted, because we did, like, an excursion, like a big thing every day. Some days we even did two, like, really big things. We were just so exhausted.
That's why I, as I've gotten, like, older, have been more into, like, staying in one place for longer. Cause I like doing, like, the big stuff, but I really like just, like, seeing, like, the day-to-day life, like, what are the locals doing, just walking around town, like, if I'm in a city, seeing, like, the different areas, and just what do the people who live here do. It's way less tiring than, like, moving from place to place.
Yeah, which I used to get so irritated with my parents when I was a teenager, because I would want to go every time we'd go somewhere. I'd want to go and go and go, and they would be like, "We just want to sit on the beach, or we just want to hang out at, you know, wherever we were," and I would just get so irritated with them. But now I'm to that point in my life where I'm like, I just want to lay on the beach. I don't want to go and do the crazy excursions every single day and all the things. We're kind of on the subject of, like, doing things more and more frugally. What do you say to people who are, you know, they're just in the first year, the first couple of years of their budgeting journey, their debt-free journey, and they're like, okay, my kids are going to be out of school for spring break or for summer break, and we really want to do something. What can we do? We're on a super strict budget. Like, even frugal flights are just not even in the picture. Right. What do you say to those kind of people?
So I am a huge fan of, like, doing day trips, mm-hmm. Like, just finding places in your area and, like, doing a lot of research and going on day trips. Like, if you can't afford to, like, stay in a hotel, or you can't afford to fly anywhere, you can travel around your city, you can travel around your state or wherever you live. So try something new, do a day trip where you just drive there, you know, you pack some food, you go on a hike, or you go explore different, like, neighborhoods in a city, or go on walks, or go to, like, a lake or a beach that's nearby. Because the kids, when it comes down to it, like, the kids are still going to remember that. It's still something new, or it's still a new experience for them. And I think that's why people really enjoy traveling, is like that feeling of excitement. And
it's like that Christmas morning feeling.
Yes. And you don't have to like have a huge big vacation to replicate that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. One of our things that we, other than camping, we are about 3 hours from the beach in Galveston, and we love Galveston. Like, it's one of our favorite places to go. And so, you know, we're about 3 hours away. That's a good day trip. You know, we'll just get up super early, already have everything packed, and we will pack the cooler, we'll pack chips and sandwiches and, you know, whatever. And sometimes we won't even go out to eat at all. Or other times we'll just plan, you know, to go out for one meal and everything else we're just going to eat out of the cooler, and we'll do it really cheap, and then we'll just drive back home. And we did that several times. Anywhere else, it's like driving distance. We did that a lot. And I really think, you know, not to kind of like keep repeating the pack a cooler, but it saved us so much money and so much time, and it just made it so much easier. And it seems like a really silly thing to say, but for us, it was like a deciding factor of, can we afford to do this or not? If we don't eat out, we can afford to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of that. We did a lot of day trips, a lot of local things, just get out of the house, not feel so stuck in our budget and all of that. And it was really fun. We have a lot of fun trip memories.
And I feel like your girls, like, we're probably still so excited. Like, I bet you say go to the beach, they're probably so excited. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we can just, gosh, like, we just go here in town. We have
many Dollar Tree trails.
Yeah. Like, we just have like so many nature trails and stuff here, and they're just like, that's fun. Like, that's a trip to them. Going to the park is a trip to them. I mean, it doesn't have to be Disney. It doesn't have to be flying across the world. I mean,
it's the quality time with you, and it's doing something like a little bit different from your schedule. And I think that's all that matters. Yeah. I lived in St. Louis for a few years, and when I moved back to Greenville, I like went on this mission to find like all the beautiful, cool places in like Greenville County.
Yeah.
And so I had lived here my whole life and had never been to any of these really freaking awesome places. And so I went around like all summer, one summer, and just went and took photos and went to all these different places. And I was like, I cannot believe that I've lived here this long and I never knew any of this was here. And it was so exciting for me. Every, you know, I'd go get my coffee or like do whatever, and then like spend the whole day exploring and then come home and feel like so refreshed.
Yeah. And you're back at home with your stuff. You didn't spend a whole lot of money. And it's so true, because we went on a homeschool group field trip, and just in the next town over, you know, a 15-minute drive. And the majority of the families there had never been to this museum. And it was $1 a person.
Oh my gosh.
$1 a person. And then I then come to find out it was only $1 a person because we did a guided tour. If we would have just went in, it would have been free. And all, like, the majority of the families had never even been. And it was amazing. All the kids absolutely loved it. And so, you know, especially over the summer and stuff, like here, it's so hot here. We do inside stuff during the summer instead of during the winter. We're like outside during the winter. But just like, you know, try out, like be a traveler in your own area.
And exactly.
Make it fun. Make it frugal, but make it fun. You know, you can definitely do both.
Yeah. And you can, like, if you're not going to go on a trip, then maybe you can justify like going out to eat one day to like a new restaurant, or like paying a little bit more than you would usually pay for like a fun activity that you've never done before. Like, I don't know, horseback riding or something like that. Like, there's ways to explore your own city. And I'm just such a big, like I just love when people love where they live.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really do. And I never thought that I would want to live in my hometown, but now I've discovered all these amazing things and I can go around and like discover something new all the time.
And I mean, I think from like your photos and everything that I've seen, it looks beautiful and exciting. And I think it's all about kind of your perspective on it. And I think, like, you know, back to the mindset thing, if your mindset is in the right place with it, it can be an adventure and it can be, you know, really fun and it can still be frugal.
Right. So. And the same for like weekend trips, like you said, going, spending one or two nights, you can do that on a budget. If you can drive there. So I really enjoy doing that too. And some of the, like the cities I've visited, I've gone to like 10 times and I still find new stuff.
Oh yeah. There's still things, especially like, you know, the bigger cities, like we're 2 hours from Houston. There are endless things that you could do in Houston. Mm-hmm. You never run out of things to do in Houston.
Right. And see, I'm blessed to live near Charleston. Mm-hmm. So obviously like, I've been there a million times because my fiance used to live there, but every time I went there, there's something new that I did, and I would stay with him and, you know, eat food at his place and then go around town and take photos. And but yeah, we're in like a really good hub for different cities like Charleston, Atlanta, Asheville.
Yeah.
We're close. So it's
gorgeous over there. And I love it over there. It's one of my areas. Like we drove through a little bit of South Carolina on a road trip. We drove all the way through North Carolina and like that whole area. And we definitely did not plan enough time to stay there. We really underestimated how beautiful it was going to be over there.
There's really a lot to do. Like, again, I always thought I'm going to grow up and live in New York City or wherever, but like, there's so much to do in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. Yeah. As I'm sure there are in all the other states. So that's another thing that I've done all this international travel. I've done some U.S. travel, but I want to like start seeing my own country because it's so huge.
There's endless things to see in the United States, even places that you could drive. I know that we could talk forever, so we'll have to wrap up. but we didn't really get much into talking about the book that you co-authored with Allie. Your best friend Allie's also been on the podcast. I'm also going to link to Allie's episode. Allie took one for the team and she talked a lot about the book. So you're good to go. You don't have to talk about the book. Thanks, Allie. I love y'all's book. I love everything that you guys did with trying to get into talking to the teens about money. And I saw that you guys are about to start on the second book. I'm really, really excited about that.
Yes. So the second one will be all geared toward college students, mm-hmm. and kind of the transition from college to adulthood, like preparing them for first jobs but also like college life and being a frugal college student because
that's so important.
necessary and easy to get caught up in college. So this is probably the one that we are most excited about. Just feel like we have the chance to do a lot of good. Like maybe the college students are, you know, getting into that mindset of mm-hmm. I'm out on my own and I need to figure out what in the world I'm doing with my money.
I think especially like our generation, the student loan crisis is so huge and it's such a heavy burden and people are starting to pay attention to that. And so I feel like if we can get the generation, like the generation that's a little bit younger than us, the people who are just now getting into college, if we can help them and speak to them, maybe we can get this whole student loan crisis like under control. And maybe in a generation or two, this won't be an issue. And I think like you're so much more likely to get, I mean, obviously like the high school book, the first book was geared towards high school kids and I loved it. And it's right here on my shelf. There you go. Shout out. And I definitely am keeping it for when my girls get older. But I think like with the college, they're going to read it on their own terms. It's not going to be your parents like forcing you to read it. It's like by college, you want to get it. You want to get your stuff together. You want to, you know, get serious about your budget and
There's more ownership there. And I think one of the big things that I liked about our first book is we're trying to like explain to the high school students that you need to get your money situation like under control and under wraps and know what to do so that you can live the lifestyle that you want to live. And so, yeah. Like, for me, that's traveling. For other people, you know, it's whatever. But I think that college students will start to get that as they're transitioning from, like, having to be under mom and dad to being on their own and they're able to do the things that they want to do physically, but, like, monetarily, are they able to do the things that they want to do?
Yeah.
Maybe not. So,
you know, I wish it was my high school years. I was really smart with my money when my dad was there to be like, hey, did you contribute to your mutual fund? Hey, did you save? Hey, did you, you know, this and that. But when I got out on my own, it was like no one was doing that checks and balances anymore. And that's about the I slowly started to taper off and slowly started to forget everything that my parents had drilled into my head as a teenager. And I started to kind of really start to make some mistakes when I was like 20, 21, you know, in there. So I'm really excited about your guys' second book. But like I said, I'll link to the book. I'll link to Allie's interview. And I even wrote a review on the book, Not Another Money Statistic. And I'll link to that as well for those people listening who aren't familiar with the book, who want to learn more about it. Just thank you so much for coming on here. I've literally had your name on my list since before I launched the podcast. I was really excited to have you on, and I'm glad that we finally did this. It's so, so fun. Just thank you for coming on, and I am going to link to all of your stuff in the show notes, and you guys definitely go and check out her blog, check out her Instagram, because you take some gorgeous, gorgeous photos. And we're all going to be following along on your house journey and your new wedding and your marriage and all the things. It's going to be really great. So thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy it. I listen to your podcast all the time. So
you're so sweet.
I'm so honored for you to ask me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just glad that you took the time to come and share some of your tips with us. So, all right, guys, we're going to go. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. This was a little bit of a long one. We knew it would be because we had so many great things to share with you guys. Make sure to share this episode. You know, there are going to be so many people who are going to be traveling this spring, this summer, and you just never know who needs the message, who needs to hear these tips and all of this stuff. Subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a review. Let us know what you guys thought about this episode. That is the kind of thing that helps the podcast grow. And I really appreciate you guys for hanging out. Thank you again, Shelly. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.